Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. The Lord Jesus Christ has made his believers into new creatures at the moment of salvation, and he is conforming us to his image. We come here today to worship him. And of course, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he is God, and we worship him because he has been resurrected from the dead to prove that he is God. But most of all, we worship him for how compassionate he is toward us, believers and unbelievers alike, for his unconditional love, especially in those moments when we make mistakes. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, read this way. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, and he came again into the temple. And all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. And the interesting thing is they brought the woman alone and without the man she was with. And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act." Now in the Mosaic law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. "What then do you say?" The scribes and the Pharisees are asking the person who wrote the Mosaic law to give his opinion on the Mosaic law. That's beautiful. John 8, 6. And the scribes and the Pharisees were saying this, testing Jesus, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And I told you that I have been to that temple where he was writing on the ground, and the ground was stone. So he was writing on stone with his finger. John chapter 8, verse 7. But when the scribes and the Pharisees persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him to be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, the Lord Jesus Christ stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when the scribes and Pharisees heard it, they began to leave one by one, beginning with the older ones. The older ones, of course, being the smarter ones. And the Lord Jesus Christ was left alone, and the woman where she was left in the center of the court. John 8:10. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And John 8:11 says, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to this believer in Christ, "I do not condemn you either. Go. And from now on, sin no more." We live in the church age, the age of grace. And our God is most gracious to us. He is the one in whom we believers in Christ place our faith. He has our complete confidence, and for good reason. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the divine power that works within us." Romans chapter 4, verse 21 tells us to be fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. The Lord monitors our confidence in him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them, and this is referring to his apostles, when they asked why they could not cast out a demon. He said, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, any obstacle, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Therefore, we believers in Christ come together to do as Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 suggest, and that is to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the humiliation of the cross, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. And we should keep on thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such hostility by sinners unto himself, so that we may not grow weary, fainting in our souls. Welcome to a place where we worship the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only God. Welcome to a place where we have faith in Christ. Welcome to a place where we come to fix our eyes on Jesus. Welcome to a place with the kind of faith that moves mountains. And as God prepares our souls for renewing, the renewing that comes from the study of the Word of God, Let's worship our Lord in song. And the opening song is, Your Word Takes Me.
Lord, you tell me you love me. Your words are love song to my soul. You tell me I'm yours. You'll never leave me. And I will never let you go. You whisper to me with a voice that gives me hope. I'm the one that you adore. I will follow wherever you lead me. Take my hand, oh Lord, I'm yours. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your word comes my soul like nothing ever came. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your love takes me home. Your word makes me. Your word takes me. Where only grows deeper as your word renews my mind. Your love is strong, it has no equal. Lord, you are so gentle and kind. You're in me and I'm in you. No one could ever take your love from me. Your seal is on my heart. I belong to you only. You are placed no one above. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your word calms my soul like nothing ever can. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your love makes me whole. Your word takes me. Your word makes me. Your word takes me. Well, only you and I can go. You know the depths of my heart, the places that I've been. Your word heals me deep within. You know all of me. From you I cannot hide.
Song. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to understand simultaneously your unconditional love and your wrath, and encourage us all to orient to your unconditional love. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1. The Lord doesn't want a humbug, but he will. The Lord doesn't want a humbug, but he will. So for those of you who are too young to know what a humbug is, that's what happens when two gangs get together. It's a humbug, you know? So every once in a while, gangs would get together and humbug. In high school, we had a chant whenever there was rough stuff going on the basketball court. We'd start chanting, "We don't want a humbug, but we will. We will." In other words, we don't want to fight, but we will. Or the way my mom used to say it is, don't start any crap and there won't be any. Well, for our Lord, the Lord doesn't want to punish us. The Lord doesn't want to hurt us. The Lord doesn't want any of his creatures to go to the lake of fire. But he will allow that. And so one of the things that we've been studying in Romans chapter 1 is that he will allow you to do what you want to do. You have free will. You can act independently from him, and he will let the consequences of your choices manifest themselves. So that's what we're going to be looking at today as we close out Romans chapter 1. First, a few announcements. The first one is mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is next week, April 20th, and it will be part of our Resurrection Day celebration. So we'll have two lessons next week. One will be on the cross, one will be on resurrection, and we'll get a great picture of death and life. And so please bring your friends. It's a great time to bring friends because everybody's open to coming to church on Easter. And we're going to talk about the Easter celebration briefly and let you know that that is a counterfeit holiday, just as counterfeit as Santa Claus. And it's in Satan's kingdom, which is where we live, there's always some counterfeit of the important things. And counterfeiting the Resurrection Day, which is the celebration of next week, is the most vile and wicked counterfeit that there is, because Resurrection Day is the most important day in divine history. And we're happy to celebrate it. So we're looking forward to that. Mark your calendars. The deacons meeting today from 12 to 1. So you guys know about that. Yard sale report. So before I get into, I don't know how much money we made in the yard sale, and I really don't even care how much money we made, because one of the things that I saw when I went out to the yard sale is a bunch of people who were intense and passionate and in a state of camaraderie about Barah Ministries and about doing something for Barah Ministries. And so I want to thank all of the people who were involved in the yard sale. And I know if I start naming names, I'm going to miss some. But I know Larry Collins, Larry and Pat Collins, Mike Embry, Susie Embry, and all the rest who were involved. You know, it was not only, and all those of you who gave donations and contributions. And by the way, you know, that was great to see some of those tube TVs get out of your houses. I think we had about 30 tube TVs. Hey, buy a pair of underwear and get a TV. You know, it was at that point. But I was just moved with the passion and the intensity level that was going on at that yard sale, where people just really care about Barah Ministries. There is a core of people in this congregation who just care about what goes on in Barah Ministries. And I know that your hard work in that yard sale was your way of saying to me, without saying it to me, how much you appreciate what I do. And it was very edifying. It filled my heart. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you did. And I think it's real easy for us to get wrapped up in all the things that we're not and to forget about all the things we are. And the only way to see what you are is to come together for things like this and to see what the true passion is and what the true concern is of the people in this ministry. And we've got a solid core of people who really, really give a shit about Jesus Christ, Barah Ministries, this pastor, and what we're each other and what we're doing. And that makes a big difference to me. And it's really nice to see that. Because it's not so easy to see that when you're sitting in here in a didactic communication, in a didactic interaction where I talk and you stare. It's not really easy to see that when you're in your room doing the study that's required to put together a lesson. But it's really easy to see that when we're out in the community and reaching out to the community. And not only was it gratifying to see the number of people who were involved from Barah Ministries, but it was even more gratifying to see the number of people that you brought in to help with the sale who were not from Barah Ministries. And they were just as committed and just as intense and just as passionate and just as tired from doing all the work that you have to do to put something together like that. So I just want to thank you so much for doing that. And what it meant to me is the camaraderie that we have, and to illuminate that camaraderie. And we need to keep doing things like that so that we don't forget that all of us are here because we want to be here. Nobody is dragging us here. We all moved here from someplace because we want to be here. We all sacrificed something to be here. We all gave up a life that we could easily have in the world so that we could be here. And it's simple things like this that show who we really are and what we're really committed to. And those are the things that make Jesus Christ smile. And I certainly joined him in a smile. So that was fantastic. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I did sell a You Will Be Saved for 25 cents.
Did you? That's all right. So Mike sold 4 And You Will Be Saved books for $1. I like that. It's all right. I mean, if people want to contribute, they can more than they can contribute.
Right? Okay, right?
You're okay. You're not going to go to hell for that. It's all those other things you do that are going to send you to hell. We're moving to a new location. The target date is April 27th. We'll be at 1220 South Alma School Road, which is at Alma School in Southern in Suite 201, Mesa. There is an elevator that can take you from the first floor to the second floor. There is ample parking. Southern is pretty much torn up, so if I were you, I would not approach from Southern Avenue. And I would not wait until April 27th to make your first journey over there to find out where it is. You should make a practice journey beforehand so that you can get there in plenty of time. And on that day, you should probably plan to be there at 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock. We'll have the regular 9 o'clock start, but that'll give you plenty of time to find the place, to settle in, and you won't have to be running in and, disturbed about your first trip over there. The chairs are in, and they're beautiful. The tables are in, they're beautiful. The alarm system is in. One of the decals is on the door. The new blinds are in process. The place is painted. The banners are in. The internet is in. The ceiling tiles have been replaced. Lots of activity at the new location. Thanks to Larry Collins and the deacons and all who are making a contribution to get this up and running. Van, thank you for all you've done. Jenny, thank you. We're right there next to East Valley Medical College, and that's really cool because we've got two places to hang out. And it's just going to be a fantastic place to be for the next 3 years.
There will be a slight charge for using our bathroom.
There will be a charge for using Jenny and Van's bathroom. And having taken a trip into the bathrooms with Larry Collins, I would encourage you to pay that fee. Oh, my God. Now, the bathrooms are really clean, but they're really old. And they have a nice, clean smell in them, but they're really old. But, you know, we'll have to put up with some things. I don't think any situation that we go into should be perfect, so that when we move into our perfect location at Guadalupe and Burke, we'll really enjoy it. So thanks for everyone who's making a contribution to getting our new home up and running. Congratulations to Maureen Slobig. Her daughter Marissa had twins. Yay. There they are, a boy and a girl. Yeah, that boy is a macho man. So that's fantastic. And congratulations to Norbert Baird for being a great grandpa. Yeah, a great grandpa. He finally graduated from college, so he is a great grandpa. Yeah. Usually to be a great grandpa, you have to do something extraordinary, but you didn't get that? To be a great grandpa, you have to do something extraordinary. You didn't get that. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. I'm a little subtle. But congratulations, Norbert. That's got to be really gratifying.
I do something great every day.
Yeah, exactly. Got to be very gratifying to see generation after generation of your family evolve before your very eyes. Thank the Lord. And happy birthday to Pastor Rory Clark. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! And thanks to Debbie Kramer for putting the balloons on. I did not do that. That was awesome. And I just want you to know that I am accepting electronic Starbucks cards as a birthday present. If you were wondering what to get the man who has everything, because of my relationship with the Lord, I have everything. And so the only thing I need is Starbucks cards. So just wanted you to know that. But, you know, I woke up this morning with a tremendous amount of joy in my heart. I don't normally think very much of birthdays. I've never really concerned myself too much with holidays or celebrations and all that. Just say, yeah, thanks, and let's get on with life, because every day is a celebration to me. But I woke up today with just a tremendous amount of joy in my heart, because, you know, God has been so good to me. So good to me. And I'm so unworthy of all of his love and concern. And I just marvel at just stopping to think about all the things that he's done for me over the years, all the places he's taken me to, all the people he's brought into my life, all the people he has surrounded me with, all the things that he has given me, and everything I've ever asked in prayer, I've gotten it. And I just so appreciate all the things that he promises and then comes through with. And one of the things that I asked him for a long time ago is all of you. And he came through. And all the things that we go through, the ups and downs and sideways, I appreciate. And that's what I'm celebrating today. I'm celebrating you and us and what we're trying to do. And that is to get to know Christ, to do it together, and then to share what we have in our hearts with our community. So it's very exciting to me. So thank you for the gift of you being here. Well, let's take the offering. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one of us must do what we purpose in our own hearts and not do things grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. And so we give because we want to, not because we have to, and God is pleased with such gifts. Today's offering is taken by Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they're not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others. I want to begin real quick with a couple things. Prayers for Jesse Mathiesen. He's in another round of pneumonia as he's fighting cancer, and he has a horrible sinus infection. So continue to keep him in your prayers. He's really struggling. He's had a lot of setbacks. Another prayer goes out to June Murphy. She is changing jobs right now, so keep her in your prayers, and I know there's a job already waiting for her. She just has to go through a little struggle to get to it. But this week I chose Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, as you Christians have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you are instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And that's what I have for my pastor. You know, I would like to say happy birthday to him as well. Happy 79th birthday. I understand with that age why he uses words like humbug. I didn't even know what that meant. I thought that was like Santa Claus or something. Anyway, but it's a perfect segue because God doesn't want to fight with us, but he will. And that's why he sent people like Paul, who wrote this epistle. And that's why he sends people like Pastor to keep us instructed. And Paul wrote this epistle from prison and was unable to actually ever visit Colossae. And that's a lot like we are. He's never able to visit us, but he writes this instruction to keep us on course. And, you know, the book of Colossians instructs Christians on the way to go and what to stay away from. And we might not be fighting Greek philosophy that was intruding the church at the time, intruding our Christian theology, but we are fighting a lot of other things that are intruding the church, whether it's attacks from the outside, attacks from within, you know, a lot of disgruntled people that are dealing with. But, you know, we have a strong pastor and a strong church, like we said, a core that really cares about this place. And that's why I'm overflowing with gratitude to all of you, because, you know, it really keeps us all going when you show up and you keep us charged with financial benefits as well as just, you know, the pat on the back. So it really helps us a lot. And, you know, if a man, Paul, can get a message to a church, then you know God can get a message to us. So he gets his message clear to us each week. So thank you very much, Pastor. And I know it's your 59th birthday. I just had to throw that out there. Had to make you laugh. It's always hard following him when he gets a little choked up because I get choked up. And, you know, I really love you guys and I love this church. And the church of Colossae was actually ruined by an earthquake. And that's what it would take, I think, to separate me from this church would be an earthquake. And, you know, I'm glad that Paul instructed the church on the way to go, and I'm glad that Pastor instructs us that, you know, it's not rose petals that come out of our butt. It's other things. So thank you all for your support, and God bless.
May I be like you.
It's one of my favorite songs. It's one of the things I've seen God do consistently over the years is change my heart. I don't even have to ask him to do it. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Alburn and Deacon Elliot Clark to give a report on the future of the teen ministry.
No, because we're going to be switching off. It's youth pastor to you, sir. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I started off. Good morning. Ellie and I just want to take a few minutes. Pastor Rory wanted us to just let you know as a congregation what it is we're doing with our Barah youth group and where we're aiming to put it at the rest of the year. We came up with three main points that we want Christ to be about through the ministry. So I'm going to take the first part and let Deacon Elliot end with the rest. I'm going to go over the people. I figured it's probably a good opportunity for us to at least introduce you to everyone who is going to be, I guess, really the founding members of the Barah Youth Group. So obviously you have Elliot and I, and it's no secret that we are kids at heart anyway, so that seems pretty appropriate. But we want to go ahead and introduce everyone to Alyssa. Stand up. There we go. Extremely bright, good at basketball, not the world's greatest mini golfer, we found out. Introduce us all to Dion. Neon Dion, go ahead and stand up. You couldn't tell? Quite the opposite of Alyssa. He's actually amazingly good at mini golf. Then, of course, we have SpongeBob Sky. She can go ahead and stand up. She always helps to keep people on track during Elliot's lessons. And then, of course, we have Fly Vinny over there, who I don't know if you've noticed, but he always dresses to impress every single Sunday. And so it's this group that we're going to start this youth group with, and our aim is to grow it and also grow in Christ together. So we aim to have a good time doing that. Here's Elliot for the rest.
So when we started doing this, I reached out to some people that have built youth ministries, you know, because Caleb and I have never built a youth ministry, which is an awesome position to be in because we're curious and we're passionate about doing this, and it's something that we want to do. And the advice that the person gave me was to start with what we have and to do what you can. And, you know, this is the group that we're starting with, and I wouldn't have asked for a better group. You know, we they're awesome, you know, engaged, passionate about learning, and I haven't been excited about teaching, you know, in a long time as I have been working with them, you know, so it's a pleasure to do this. As far as for the vision of where we're going, you know, we really want to focus on three areas, and those three areas are Christ, camaraderie, and community. You know, so as far as Christ, you know, we're devoted and dedicated to building a biblically sound curriculum, you know, that fosters our love and our intimacy with the Lord. You know, that's first and foremost for us is making sure that we're leading them and growing in their relationship with Christ and knowing who he is as a person and reflecting that in our lives. Camaraderie is about building relationships with each other. We want each other to enjoy being around each other, and I think we do. We went and played mini golf last Saturday. Was it last Saturday? Or I think maybe two Saturdays ago. But we had Team Hat Club, which was me, Dion and Vinny, and then we had Team Buttercup, which was, as you can guess, Caleb, and Sky and a couple of her friends, and then we had Alyssa, who are the Warriors, and she brought a couple friends. So it was a good time. My team won, Team Hat Club won, and you know, but it was an awesome time, and that's what we aim to do. We're gonna shoot for one event per quarter, and you know, it's an opportunity to bring people in and bring them into an engaging environment and just let them know that we're here, let them know that we have fun and we enjoy each other, but at the same time, we are a Christian youth ministry and we're about Christ. And as far as community, we want to aim for also one event per quarter, you know, so we're also dedicated to taking what we learn, taking what how we've grown and developing a servant's heart and taking that out to community. You know, whether it be partnering with existing organizations that have ventures or creating our own, you know, but that's something that we're going to be doing as well. So as far as the deliverables and what you can expect, you know, for parents that have teens in other states, you know, we are an online congregation as well. And so we are going to be producing materials that will give you the opportunity to work with your own youth group. Say you live in Coeur d'Alene, say you live in Pennsylvania or wherever it is you are. If you do have teens, we want to make sure that you're getting what you need to lead them in their love for Christ. So the series, for example, that we're on right now is taking a look. It's a picture of Jesus through the eyes of the Apostle John. And so we're taking a look at the first 10 chapters of John. So starting the first week in May, you can expect those to be put online every week. So what you're going to get is a prep video, you know, a 5 to 10 minute video, us giving you a general framework for what the lesson is going to be about and the structure of it. And then we're also going to give you leader guides, which will guide you throughout the lesson. And then we're also going to provide student activity sheets, which will, you know, be something for the students to stay engaged with as they're reading the Bible and as you're taking them through the message. So that's going to be something that we're going to provide weekly again starting the first week in May. We're going to get that section put up on the website. So, you know, tell your friends about it. Tell people about it. You know, we like Caleb said, we do want to grow and we want to bring in more young people because we believe that, you know, bringing in a lot of young people will also, you know, hopefully influence their parents to come as well. So, you know, tell people that you know that we have a youth ministry now and that we're about Christ and we're about fun stuff. So that's an update on where we're going. So if you have any questions or comments, you know, feel free to talk to me about it after. My contact information, and so is Caleb's, is on the website. So, you know, you can direct all questions to us, and we will definitely keep you updated as we continue. So, thanks.
That's another thing that I'm tremendously encouraged about is two guys who probably have the gift of pastor-teacher, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, getting a chance to demonstrate that gift with youth. And I think there's no better group to work with than youth. You know, this ministry started with a couple of puppets, Kermit the Frog and Clifford the Dog. Kermit was a Christian and Clifford was Satan, and we taught some lessons starting that way. And I think that's the way to start to really learn about God, is to look at God through a kid's eyes. And Alyssa, don't worry about a thing on the mini golf thing. We will, the next time we have one of these mini golf things, you'll be on my team and we will kick the crap out of the Buttercups and the Knuckleheads or whatever that other team was called. And then we'll silence them. Because Deacon Elliot always stacks the deck so that he can win. But that's kind of over. That's right. I picked the right partner so that we can stack the deck so that we can win. That's exactly right. That's too funny. All right, why don't you take a 5-minute break? And then when we get back, we'll start today's study, which is Romans chapter 1. The Lord doesn't want a humbug, but he will.
Welcome back. Today's study, the Lord doesn't want a humbug, but he will. Turn to Romans chapter 1. The Lord doesn't want a humbug, but he will. Said another way, don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. God is the bear. Don't poke the bear. Let sleeping dogs lie. There are a lot of ways that we say this in our language. Romans chapter 1. So we've completed this chapter of the letter. And let's finish it by taking a look at all the things that we've learned. And it's very difficult, of course, in 30 minutes to recap everything you've learned in 9 months. But we've learned a lot from this chapter. Romans chapter 1. This letter is written by me, Paul, a bondservant and voluntary slave of Christ Jesus, by calling an apostle and set apart by God the Father for the dissemination of the gospel message of God the Father as a minister. The Apostle Paul is the worst person who ever lived by his own admission. Funny that he was selected by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the most important work of the New Testament, which is to communicate the gospel message, the mystery doctrine of the church age. He is a doulos, the Greek word doulos. He is a voluntary slave. So he is not a slave because he has been enslaved by a tyrant. He is a voluntary slave who has gone into the slavery of the Lord Jesus Christ of his own accord. And before he became a believer in Christ, he was enslaved as well. He was a slave to religion. He has a spiritual gift, the gift of apostle, and everyone who had the gift of apostle interacted with the Lord Jesus Christ personally, specifically, interacted with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ personally. He has a ministry, and we are to follow suit. His ministry is to a community of believers, and he does that of his own free will. A lot that we learn just from the first verse, Romans 1:2. And this is the gospel message that God the Father promised beforehand to the human race through his prophets in the holy scriptures of the Old Testament. It was always God's intention that his creatures would have a message of reconciliation, that his creatures would have a message that says, I know that you turned on me. Please come back. I welcome you back with open arms. That is not our habit as human beings, but that is our God's habit. So the gospel message, in Romans 1, we've learned that the gospel message is probably more important to believers than to unbelievers. And it is certainly important to unbelievers. But it's more important to believers in Christ, and I know for certain that we didn't think that before we got into this study of Romans. Romans 1:3, a gospel message concerning God the Father's Son, the Lord. God the Son, the Lord, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh as true humanity, Jesus Christ. You are true humanity. Said another way, you are a human being. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that's why we call him the Lord, and he is true humanity, and that's why we call him Jesus Christ. But he is combined with those two natures in full operation. So he is the uniquely born one. He is 100% God, the Lord. He is 100% true humanity, Jesus Christ. Human in every way, just like you and me, yet also God. Our magnificent Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. He is without sin. He is without sin nature because he was born of a virgin and the sin nature comes from the Father at conception. He is without personal sins. And so that may not mean much to you until you get to heaven and you find out how fine Mary Magdalene was, right? The prostitute from whom he cast out seven demons and who was a constant follower of Christ and who was around him all the time. And when you find out how fine she is, you'll know what a great task it was for him to come here to live a sinless life and then to ascend into heaven just so that he could do the job that he volunteered for a billion years ago, which is to be the Savior of the world. He did not come to the planet to judge us, but rather to save us. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And Jesus Christ was declared the Son of God with enabling power by means of his resurrection from the dead. That is what separates him from all the pretenders, that he is resurrected from the dead, the only one so resurrected at this point. Accomplished, and that resurrection from the dead was accomplished through the enabling power of the God, who is the Spirit of holiness, God the Holy Spirit. And we are talking about this Jesus Christ, our Lord, God the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead to prove that he is God. Romans 1:5, through whom I, Paul, have received from God the Father both grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ's person. The most detestable thing that you could ever ask of a Jew is for him to interact with Gentiles. And that's exactly what ministry was given to Paul, a Jew. He was given the ministry to interact with Gentiles. It's an amazing thing that God does for us. He always asks us to go into our area of weakness. He would bring a black pastor to a prejudiced congregation. And I'm not saying that you are, but he would do that. And it's just funny how he always seems to do things like that, so that we have to be face to face with who we really are, and to decide if we want to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ or not. So in Romans 1:5, the key, I think, is obedience. Obedience is a request from God that we follow his plan for us and that we not create our own. Romans 1:6, among whom you as believers in Christ also are the possession of Jesus Christ by calling. We are, as believers in Christ, adopted adult sons of the living God. And that makes us heirs. And because we are heirs, we have an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and reserved for us in heaven and waiting for us to claim it. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. That this letter is written to all of you who are the beloved, the divinely loved ones of God the Father. And that's what you are if you're a believer in Christ. You are divinely loved. You believers in Christ living in Rome specifically, saints by calling. The set apart ones. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are divinely loved. You are a saint in God's eyes if you're a believer in Christ. You are set apart for privilege. And the word that indicates that you are is sanctified. You are sanctified, which means you are set apart for a set of privileges that would blow your mind if you tried to hold one of them in your head at one time. The Lord considers his believers to be saints, divinely loved, unconditionally loved, phenomenal. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ's name for all of you believers in Rome, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Your faith is being proclaimed at the time all over the Roman Empire. Now, as believers in Christ, we have faith in the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our God wants our faith to be proclaimed throughout the whole world, even if that whole world is only to those in our immediate periphery. And I think we need to have the courage to stand up and evangelize to the people in our periphery and to take change our mind about the fact that they can't be gotten to, because there's nobody that can't be gotten to. But try to get to them with the right thing. Get to them with the Word of God. Don't get to them with the word of you, but get to them with what God has to say about the matter of salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God the Father, whom I, Paul, serve in my human spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you believers in Rome in an intercessory prayer. Prayer is a central part of the Christian's life, and we know that anything we ask in prayer, believing, we will receive it. Romans 1:10, always in my prayers, making request, petition for self as well. If perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. The believers in Rome were Paul's non-resident congregation. He had never been to them, yet he sent a letter to them. And he cared about them just as deeply as he cared about the people who were resident in front of him whenever he was preaching his letters himself. And I feel the same way. I feel deeply for the people of this congregation who are not able to be here, because they are a tremendous support system to us and to this work of proclaiming the gospel throughout the whole world. Romans chapter 1, verse 11, I, Paul, long to see you, believers in Rome, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. God gives each of us believers a spiritual gift. What is yours? And more importantly, how are you using that spiritual gift as a ministry? I guarantee you this, you will not sit on your butt and find out what your spiritual gift is. You will find out what your spiritual gift is with activity and action. Romans chapter 1, verse 12. That is, that I, Paul, may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us encouraged by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And so the purpose of a church, which is a group of people who come together to worship, is the encouraging of one another. The purpose of a church is camaraderie. It is a place to come and to make an escape from the disgust that we feel in the world. I think one of the things that I reflected on today, as I got up and started thinking about the fact that this was my birthday, I looked back into my life and I asked myself, who were all the mentors, the people who were signposts to me, that pointed me down the road and pointed me to the truth? And, you know, one of the things that I think I have seen is that I have not had one solid group of people that have moved with me throughout my life, but I've had different people who participated for a part of the journey, pointing me ahead, and then handed me off to someone else. And I guarantee you that is a lonely road. That is not the way that you would want to have your life go. The way you'd want to have your life go is that you were always surrounded by people who are really concerned for you and who are really sending you forward. And I challenge you to see if you have that in your life. Are you advancing? Are you trying to advance alone? Or are you surrounded by people who will tell you the truth about yourself? Are you surrounded by people who will make you look at things differently than you look at them now? Because when we are alone, when we are loners, we hate those people who come into our lives and grab us and say, hey, would you look at this, please? Hey, that thing you're doing, would you please stop doing that? And would you do this instead? And we grow to hate people who do that when we need that more than anything that we need in life. We need that as much as we need to breathe. We need people around us. We need it desperately. And how much are we being encouraged by the world to separate, to go our own way, to try to do everything alone? And the one regret that I have as I close out the 59th year of my life is how many things I did alone. And about 2 years ago, I went on strike against doing things alone. There is no merit in doing things alone. And I'm sorry that it took so long for me to learn that. How about you? Romans 1:13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, believers in Rome, that often I plan to come to you and have been prevented so far. I want to come so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as I obtain fruit among the rest of the Gentiles. As Christians, we are to produce fruit. Romans 1:14, I am under obligation both to Greeks, people who speak Greek, and to barbarians, people who don't speak Greek, both to the wise, believers in Christ, and to the foolish, unbelievers. We are under obligation to preach the gospel to those who accept it and to those who reject it. And our attitude should be exactly the same to each. We are not to be people who are always expecting to be approved of. And as a matter of fact, I think it's a much truer measure of your success as a human being by how many people are rejecting what you're saying. Because if you're saying the truth, it's going to be rejected, because a slave is not greater than his master. And if they rejected what Jesus had to say, they will reject what you have to say when you're telling the truth. Romans 1:15. So for my part, I, Paul, am eager to preach the gospel as a minister to you also who are in Rome. We are ministers who have ministries as believers in Christ. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. For the gospel of God is the power of God the Father for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first chronologically, but also to the Greek. We are not ashamed to be ambassadors for Christ. People will ask us questions as simple as, what is salvation? What is it? John 3:36, he who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. But he who does not accept the command to believe in Jesus Christ will not see eternal life in heaven, but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. What is salvation? It is the Lord Jesus Christ volunteering to go to death to pay for your sins so that you might have life. That's what it is. And so it's just asking you to accept deliverance, to accept life instead of death. Romans 1:17, for in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God the Father is revealed. From faith in the Lord for salvation to faith in the Lord for all things. As it is written, the righteous man, any believer in Christ, shall live by faith. The righteous man shall live by placing his confidence, his absolute confidence, in the person and in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. God reveals his righteousness as a gift for our faith expressed as I believe in Christ. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, though, against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of unbelievers who suppress the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness. God warns the unbeliever. He doesn't want a humbug, but he will. God will express his wrath when you reject his unconditional love. Romans 1:19. Because that which is known about God is evident within those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness. For God made the knowledge of God evident to them from without and from within. They knew about God. They are under God. They knew about his laws. They are under his laws. And they rejected them. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ's invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divinity have been clearly seen by all mankind. And there is no one who hasn't clearly seen that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And through believing, we have life in his name. His divinity, his eternal power have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, the entire created universe. So that all mankind, especially those practicing unrighteousness and ungodliness, are without excuse in the matter of knowing God. God makes himself evident to all mankind. Romans 1:21. Even though those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness knew God, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness did not honor him as God or give him thanks for creating them, but instead, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They started intellectualizing about God, putting God in a box, trying to reduce God to something that they could understand instead of being expanded by God. Professing to be wise, thinking that they were really smart, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image, an idol, in the form of corruptible man, in the form of birds, in the form of four-footed animals, in the form of snakes, crawling creatures. And therefore, Romans 1:24, God gave those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, their sins would be clearly visible. Romans 1:25, for those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who created the creature and who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:26, for this reason, the worship of creature rather than creator, God gave them over to degrading and shameful passions. For their women exchanged the natural function of sex for that sexual function which is unnatural, homosexuality. The Bible makes it clear that this is not the course of the natural. Romans 1:27. And in the same way also, men abandoned the natural function of sex with the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men committing indecent sexual acts, homosexuality, and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Their sins are visible to the eyes of all. Romans 1:28. And just as those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness did not see fit to acknowledge that there is a God any longer, atheism, God gave them over to a depraved mind to practice those things which are not proper conduct, to practice those things which are unbecoming of a human being. As a species, we are not getting better. And if not for God's restraint, we would destroy ourselves. And here is the progression of our worseness. Romans 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. If you missed the first lesson, we went over all of these in detail. Romans 1:31, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Romans 1:21, 32, and although they know the ordinances of God, those that practice such things know that they are worthy of the sentence of death, that they not only keep practicing these things, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Let's remember one important thing as we close out our study of Romans 1 and continue into Romans 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 reminds us of this. This is the abridged version of the verse. The Lord is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to a change of mind about Christ. The Lord is not willing for any to perish. The Lord is not wishing for any to perish. The Lord doesn't want a humbug. But the wrath of God will be revealed to those who reject his unconditional love. And we can hold those two thoughts in our mind simultaneously. That if you reject a free gift, you don't get the gift, but instead you get the stick. And so our God has wrath, and it is his preference that no one experiences it. He doesn't want a humbug, but he will. And so let us not orient to his wrath. Instead, let us orient to his unconditional love by accepting the free gift of salvation through believing in Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward next week as we celebrate the Resurrection Day, to telling you about the cross and telling you about the resurrection and the life, the living Word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We close with the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy, the blamelessness that you are right now, when God looks at you right now as a believer in Christ, you are blameless to him. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Our closing song, God is Walking Me Through.
the height of confusion. Call me the worst of my fears. I'm not a victim to life circumstances. There's no wayward chances. There's a reason for each disappointment and a rainbow above every cloud. I will say out loud, God is walking me through and making me sing. He's changing my whole world around with the joy that he brings. He's breaking my fall, lifting me up, changing my heart's point of view. God is walking me. Pleasure and pain in every life, but I count mine as gain to walk in his light. God is walking me through and making me sing. He's changing my whole world around with the joy that he brings. He's breaking my fall, lifting me up.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for all that you've taught us in Romans chapter 1. And thank you for allowing Paul to be a minister, to share with us the gospel, to share with us the good and the bad and the ugly of the plan of God, and to make us clear that we have two choices. We can choose what you ask us to do, or we can walk our own way. And thanks for making it clear that walking our own way is always a bad idea. But thank you also for letting us experience that, and so that we don't have to believe in you as someone who is in an ivory tower and someone who is talking to us about theories. But thank you for helping us experience these things in our souls so that we can see that all the things you're saying are actually true in practice. And thanks for being a generous and gracious God who is always interested in us and who's always leading us back to the path, who always welcomes us with open arms. We pray that you help us to use the things you're saying to live magnificent lives and to do that now rather than later. We pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are supportive of what you're trying to teach us, especially your message of unconditional love. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Amen.